We are reading from Proverbs 2 this morning. Please take a Bible from the table back there if you need one. We're on page 511. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commandments within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Rodney. I'm one of the elders here at KPC. So, yeah, we're going to have a look at the book of Proverbs this morning. But first, let's briefly pray. Our loving Lord, we thank you for the Bible. Help us this morning to understand this book of Proverbs and apply it to our lives so that your wisdom is seen in us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, it may be unwise, but I've chosen to use some technology this morning. Have you ever heard an advertisement something like this? Everyone's been talking about our patented miracle medicine. It makes teeth white. It fills in bald patches with flowing locks of hair. It raises your IQ by up to 20%. You just got to get this product. It will change your life. This is a never-to-be-repeated offer for just 12 easy installments of $499. And if you call in the next 5 minutes, we'll throw in 3 sets of steak knives. Does it sound too good to be true? I'd say it'd be unwise to do it. This morning, though, we'll look at something that actually could change your life. Something you can get for free. What you can get is wisdom. We'll look at the main piece of wisdom literature in the Bible, the book called Proverbs. Now, why would you care about wisdom? What do you picture when you hear that someone is wise? Or maybe wisdom just isn't a word that you often use. Well, what is wisdom? A good working definition is, wisdom is knowing what to do. Even if you don't usually use the word wisdom to describe that, we've all seen it. The difference that a good idea makes. Our strategy for what to do. A clever idea for saving time and effort in how you do it. Now, you may have heard a saying, knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. That does confirm, wisdom is about knowing what to do. But as I looked through Proverbs, I found the authors of Proverbs were not too concerned with exact definitions. They used quite a few similar words for wisdom, more or less interchangeably. For them, the focus is more on the contrast with being unwise. So you want to have wisdom, knowledge, insight and discretion, and be discerning and prudent. You don't want to be foolish and simple and have no sense. Now, I don't think any of us are going to say that we don't want to know what to do in life, even if words like prudent don't sound like much fun. But you might not have realized that God encourages us to put a lot of effort into becoming wise. Partly because being wise has a lot of benefits. I'll just reread a couple of bits from chapter 2 that we had read to us before. Accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding. Look for it as for silver, search for it as for hidden treasure. Similar theme in chapter 3, I'll give you a bit from chapter 4. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. Now, I joked before, being prudent doesn't sound like much fun. Maybe you don't feel particularly motivated to become wise. One thing I found interesting in Proverbs is, God says once you get into being wise, you'll like it. Now, I suppose concern might be, it might feel like a burden. You know what to do, but you don't really want to do it. 2 verse 10 says, though, wisdom will enter your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So plenty of pros for getting wisdom. Something else I found interesting in Proverbs, though, there's another reason to pursue wisdom. Now, we all know living for God means living in his way, a good moral life. You repent of sin, you align your heart with God's heart. One thing I didn't realize before preparing this sermon is Proverbs shows a big overlap between being wise and being godly. Learning wisdom is part of learning to be righteous. There's no sort of clear line between the two. I listed some words earlier that the writers of Proverbs use to contrast being wise with being foolish. What I didn't mention is that God inspired the writers to equate being wise with being righteous and equate being foolish with being wicked. Before preparing this sermon, I thought, in my mind, I nicely analysed the difference between morality and wisdom. So you've got evil and clever is obviously the worst. Like a movie supervillain. Like the person who climbs the corporate ladder by stepping on others. Or the boss of a crime syndicate. Evil and foolish, not that much better. Movie henchmen, typical thugs. Good and wise is the best, of course. What about being good and foolish? I mean, personally, I've sometimes felt if I make a mess, but I didn't do it on purpose or break any rules, at least I'm not sinning, if I'm being a bit foolish. But there can be wrong in there too. An attitude of, as long as I have good intentions, as long as I won't be punished, it doesn't really matter if people are let down. But think about it, that's not loving. Or if you have a situation you repeatedly face and you never handle it well, something that's important, you could make the time to think about how to handle it better. I'd say, isn't it laziness if you do nothing about it? These things can point to uncomfortable facts about our character. If we can do something and should do it, but just don't make it a priority. So I think I can kind of understand the overlap between wisdom and righteousness. So get wisdom, it's good for you. Get wisdom, it makes you good. There are also many ways we can use wisdom to live our lives well in God's service. For example, we should be wise in how we run church together. We should show discernment when we're talking to someone who's going through a tough time. As we talk to someone about Christ, we can have insight into what the person cares about and how much they already know. If you have children, we need to use sound discretion in what we let them do and know when to draw the line. So there you go. I hope I've sold it to you. Hope we're all enthusiastic now about getting ourselves some wisdom. So what exactly is in this wise Bible book called Proverbs? We've read some bits of it already, but I'll take you back to the introduction. I'll read you verses 1 to 7 from chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise learn and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. So right from the start, Proverbs says, it's a collection of wisdom for us to learn from, in various literary forms. You might have noticed on the way through, who is it for? Well, it's for people who are simple. People have trouble understanding things and might follow what anyone says. Well, follow this book from God instead. It's for the young, those who lack experience and haven't accumulated much wisdom yet. You can get a head start by learning some wisdom here, so you don't have to learn all of it the hard way. Did you notice, though, also the Proverbs book is for people who are already wise and discerning. It can be a word to the wise, for people who will recognize wisdom when they hear it, quickly accept it, and add to the wisdom they already have. So you might say, perhaps not surprisingly, Proverbs is for everyone in one way or another. Now, if you haven't tackled the book before, you might ask, where's the contents page? I'm only preaching one sermon on Proverbs, and the book has 31 chapters. Someone asked me this morning, actually, how I was going to do that. It's going to be a long sermon. No, it's not. So what's the structure of Proverbs? Oops, sorry. I had the wrong slide up before, didn't I? Technology. I just let one sink in, and let's go back to the one you've seen already. Sorry about that. Here it is. You'll see straight away the structure is not much help. All you can really say is there are some longer passages. There are a heap of short, pithy statements. There are various authors, but mostly King Solomon. It isn't sorted nicely into topics at all. Great. So you might wonder, well, how's that helpful? The main aim seems to be, Proverbs is not there to tell you what to do in every situation. It's there to shape the way you think. After all, God wants us to be mature. If he wanted to give us instructions for every little thing, he could have just programmed some robots. So as you read Proverbs more and more, the Holy Spirit will bring an applicable verse to mind to help you in a situation requiring wisdom. And that's great. That's really helpful. But even better, you can mull over verses from Proverbs to grow a way of thinking that stands you in good stead no matter what the situation. Still, I can give you just a couple of tips for reading the book of Proverbs. First, as of any part of the Bible, remember your genre, that is, the style of writing that you're reading. Is it history or poetry or what is it? Proverbs chapter 1 said, this is a book of wise sayings. So some people, I think, have made a mistake in the past of treating it like rules or promises from God. But really, it's more like generalizations, so you know how things tend to work in life. I think keep that in mind. Also, as you go through, you see a lot of Proverbs are presented as parallels. You know, there's this, there's that. But they don't always compare direct opposites. It seems to be, as you think through the nuances, you get a deeper understanding of what it's talking about. Another thing, often you read a proverb about something, then later in the same chapter, there's another proverb on a similar theme. It gives you a chance to come back and reshape your understanding of the first one, or add a different aspect to it. In fact, in at least one case, there are two straight after the other that sound like they exactly contradict until you consider them. The last tip I'll give you is to have the right attitude as you approach Proverbs. 14 verse 6 says, the mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. I think, like Proverbs said earlier, we're encouraged to come with a real desire to learn wisdom and get the benefits. You won't get any wisdom if you don't really want it. So far we've looked at why to care about wisdom and what's in this book of Proverbs. So we're now in a position to ask, what's the source of wisdom, or who can give us wisdom? And perhaps maybe you're worried you'll never be able to grow in wisdom. Well, don't worry. 8 verse 17, wisdom itself says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me, find me. Now, with all the emphasis that Proverbs puts on seeking wisdom, it could feel like it's all up to us. Use your brain, look around, learn lessons from life, take advice, read the book of Proverbs lots. These things are true in themselves. But God's hand is throughout the book of Proverbs. In fact, the source of wisdom is God. It's God who gives us wisdom, and it starts with how we relate to God. Now, we'll go back to that chapter 2 that was read out for us. I'll let you know now, I deliberately skipped out some bits when I talked about the verses before. Like I said, it starts with how we should search hard for wisdom, like hidden treasure. But starting from 2 verse 5, it says, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you'll understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. You can see our searching for wisdom is ultimately searching for God. In chapter 1 and chapter 7, there's verses that both just say straight out, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. So you might feel a bit uncomfortable with this concept of fear of the Lord. What's that talking about? Of course, fearing God is not our constant or our only motivation. Let that be love. But think of it like a child doesn't want consequences from their parents. In the same way, we don't want discipline from our Heavenly Father. We need to remember Christ is the Christian's Lord as well as Saviour. And tied to this idea of fearing God is the need for us to be humble. 22 verse 4 says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honour and life. With that idea of humility in mind, I read you a famous part of Proverbs. 3 verse 5 and 6 is often quoted. I'll throw in verse 7 as well, like the snake knives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. So there is this, I guess, contrast almost, where to pursue wisdom, but also we shouldn't consider ourselves wise. In other words, we need humility. One of the joys of preaching is giving examples from your own life in front of everybody. I have an example from my own experience at work just this week. I work for the state government. An email went around the office about a new ruling that had been issued to the public. I looked at it and I thought I had a mistake in it. So I emailed the team about it. Now, they came back to me saying they thought it was correct. Now, I did pause to consider whether I should keep pushing the issue. But I decided, sure, I'm good at knowing these kind of things. I think they're just missing the point. So I shot another email off. It's just as well the person receiving my emails showed some wisdom and humility and replied, just asking to clarify what I meant. Because it was at this stage that I realised I was the one missing the point. I misread the ruling and her earlier email. In my rush to do it amongst my other work. On reflection, I realised I was lacking humility. Now, it's not wrong for me to know where I have skills. But I had not considered that she and her team have skills as well. So I wasn't humble when I compared them to myself and decided I was probably right, rather than going back to carefully check the ruling again. So you live and learn. And I apologise, and she was very nice about it. So I encourage you, fear the Lord and be humble. Now, this sermon is about the Old Testament book of Proverbs. So I haven't gone into what the New Testament says about wisdom. But the same and only God inspired both halves of the Bible. So I'll just mention a couple of places and leave you to look them up in context. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So there you go. God is the source of wisdom. Please notice it doesn't say God will tell us what to do. It says God will give us wisdom, then we can figure out what to do. Also in James 3 verse 13 and 17, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. One more quote, Colossians 1. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And as always, I'll point you to Jesus. He is our great example. When you read through the Gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, as well as studying Jesus' teaching, also study how wise he was in dealing with the disciples, the woman at the well, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, and how he handled his time, pulling aside for prayer and rest by himself and with the disciples, and in so many other ways. We can read about how Jesus lived and imitate him and love him more. So we've seen that it's worth putting effort into being wise. It has lots of benefits for each of us and helps us serve God and other people well too. We've seen that God is our source of wisdom. One way you might look at Proverbs is to think it's a very practical book. With God's help, you can use it to develop a wise way of thinking so you know what to do in different situations. That's all true, we've seen that. I do have to urge you though, don't just focus on this life. We need to be wise for life here and now, sure. But we also need to be wise for getting eternal life. I mean, what's the top priority? If we should fear God, as Proverbs recommends, the first step is to do something about the punishment we deserve from God. Every human being has sinned and needs to be reconciled to God. it would be wise to get on this straight away if you haven't already. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, "It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." If you manage to be wise about many practicalities but don't do this, you're very foolish. How can you be reconciled to God? There are plenty of people here who would be happy to tell you more, but essentially it's about faith and repentance. Or in other words, trusting in Jesus Christ, who died for us and returned from the dead, and committing to leaving our wrong behind and pleasing God with our lives. This takes a lot of humility, which Proverbs recommends as wise. If you are already in a right relationship with God, there's ways you can be wise towards other people. As we send an example to those around us by our wise lives and words, this can attract people to the gospel. It can help others to see where they need to wise up to their need for Christ, as we point them to Him who is our source of wisdom. Okay, let's just pray. Our Creator and Lord, you are so wise, and you have made this world wisely. Thank you for inviting us to share in your wisdom. Please give us wisdom now, as you promised you will. Help us to grow in maturity in our thinking, for our own benefit and to glorify you. And may our lives also draw other people to make the wise choice to give their lives to you. We ask this in the name of your Son Jesus, who has become our wisdom from you, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Amen. I'll just mention, I know you've heard a bit about the Bible Book of Proverbs. How about you read some this week? Like it says in the notices sheet, email me your favourite verse with a sentence or two about why it's special, and I'll choose a couple to say up front next week. Thanks.